Let's open our Bibles and get back into 1 Corinthians. And tonight we're in chapter 9. And again, I've just so appreciated what the Lord has been bringing. Just more and more of His truth, His Word, the continuing, the perfecting or the maturing of us in the Word of God. And I appreciate the prayer of the brother over there, you know, that this Word would work effectually in us. We're not trying to get it up here. We want it to be something that is just flowing out of our life. And you know that only God can do that. It's got to be His work. Praise His name. But in this ninth chapter, this breaks down into a few different areas. First of all, we're going to see that Brother Paul is validating his apostleship at this time. And I think it's very interesting because really in verse 1, he brings it out. He says, look, I'm Brother Paul. I'm called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. It wasn't his will. It was the Lord's work. It was the Lord's doing. He was a chosen vessel of the Lord and so precious that God chose him. And again, he chose that weak thing that was just going to confound all those that thought Paul was going, or Saul at that time was going a certain way. And God chose him to bring forth the revelation of such a the beauty of the bride of Christ through that vessel. The chief of sinners, that's who God chose. Isn't that marvelous? See, you got a chance. How about that? You know, sometimes you think you're too wicked, you're too evil in a lot of ways. I love to read about Brother Paul. He rejoiced again in his weakness and what God brought him from and what God was bringing him to. So again, Paul is going to be validating this, and again, this apostleship in his life of living by the gospel. So that's going to be the first section of what we read. And then in that, he ties in, which is so precious as well, is that we do need to support our ministers. We do need to support God's ministry. And I think that we'll find out in this, and I hope you know that that is part of your worship. It's an essential part of worship, your tithing, your support of, again, God's faithful ministers. And it's important, he'll point that out as well too. But many people, again, think that, that's just something that's completely separate out here. It's a very important part of your worship. I heard our pastor say over the years, and again, we do in this meeting, by God's grace, we learn to trust the Lord for the increase. Absolutely, because He is the God of all increase. We're not here to ask the people for anything. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm encouraging you to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And in that truth, part of that worship and a very essential part is the tithing and the giving to the ministry. And it is. I believe that, as Brother Hill used to say many times, I don't believe that we can be stingy with God. And I'm not just talking about with our money. I'm talking about with our time. I'm talking about in loving saints, giving of ourselves to where God might use us. If we're stingy to that, I don't know if we're ready to win God's best. That's the truth. Brotherly love looks on that brother, looks on others before self. I'm finding that out more and more in my life, that God truly, that love, it loves the other. It prefers that other before self. So that is a second part, and he spends some good time talking about it. So I want you to know that, again, we're not hitting up for any building projects here in the church or anything like that. This is truly just about the Word of God, so praise be to the Lord. And then finally, he's going to bring out how he testifies that, and then one of the greatest portions of Scripture starting there in the 24th verse of this chapter. I don't know if we'll get there tonight, but running that race and running well and finishing. Praise God. So let's get into that first verse. It says, am I not an apostle? So you can imagine there were these ones that were giving him a trouble is really what was going on here. There were those doubters, those ones that were trying to throw up questions. Are you really God's apostle? Are you the one that was really appointed for us? And I got to thinking about this. This was Paul. This is the one that was given that the secrets of men are going to be judged according to my gospel. This was, and Paul knew that. Paul knew that God had given him something for these people and for all of us and for the ages. I mean, he was bringing in that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But you think about with Moses as well too. There was Moses, and the people were still doubting him. Day after day. Did you just bring us out here? You know, it would have been easier for us to just be slaves in Egypt. But you brought us out here to just be killed right before the water, before the Red Sea, right? And then he said, oh no, you just brought us through the Red Sea so that we could die of thirst there just a few days later. And then after that, no, you just brought us out here so that we wouldn't die of thirst, but we'd die of hunger. So again and again and again, they were doubting God, obviously, but they were doubting the appointed that God had. God puts up whom he will and down whom he will. And his anointed is his anointed. And Brother David showed us something so wonderful in King Saul, where they said, just kill him, take him out. And he says, I'm not going to lift up my hand against God's anointed. I'm not going to do that. We need to get in tune with God. We need to be in harmony with God. When we go with what these eyes see and what this brain thinks, we're going to get in trouble. We saw that in this meeting. We saw things that had happened to this meeting because people fought. Have faith. Have faith. Let the love of God work. And it's precious. And it's evident. And God will validate. He will. But put your confidence in Him. And I'm so thankful again that it's only by grace that He's continued to show that to me. And I know the same would be for your life as well. But it says here, am I not an apostle? And this is really a rhetorical question, and here's why. He says, am I not free? Well, we just went through the 8th chapter last week, and obviously he was free. But he wasn't going to let his freedom stumble his brother. But he was free. Praise God. He was free indeed. And then he goes on to say, Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? And he had seen him. He'd seen him 3 different times in the Word of God, it says, at least. He saw him on the road to Damascus, in a sense. And then the other 2 times he appeared to him was in Acts 18:9 and 22:17 that the Lord appeared to him to give him direction and instruction. But the last one, to me, is the greatest evidence of the apostle, is, are not ye my work in the Lord? These brothers and sisters in Corinth were his work. They were the validation that truly he was their apostle. He was an apostle because their faith was being built up. They were growing in grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you will read all of that in Acts 18 verses 1 through 11. He goes on to say, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. So if I'm an apostle to anybody, folks, even though they were doubting him and giving him some problem, I'm an apostle to you. You're the validation. You're the seal of my apostleship, he goes on to say. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Corinth, or these brothers and sisters in Corinth here, were the living fruit of the ministry that God had given him. Even though there was a lot of correction going on here, these people were his fruit. You don't realize, and it was interesting, I was watching another little documentary on Rome, and they're coming through, and it's very interesting how, I don't know if any of you caught the one yesterday on one of those other emperors, and I can't recall his name, but he was there in about AD 40, 43, somewhere in there, and what debauchery was going on at that time, how sinful and how wicked. And this was all over this place. And this is what Paul came in to bring, was the truth. And these people, some of these people received it. What a miracle, what a marvel that they were at least being drawn out and understanding that there was something. I mean, it was just excess after excess of what they were doing. It was just horrendous what they practiced at that time. That's why you can see God moving in this group of people. I'll tell you what, we've got hope. And even though the evil of man's waxing worse and worse, it was an evil and wicked time at that time. All right. Verse 3. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. So again, here they were questioning him. And how many times again are these people going to question him? But he was going to answer them in the work of grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, have we not power to eat and to drink? And here we go. He's saying, have we not the right to eat and to drink? Bringing the truth and love to these folks, did they not have the right to have them maybe give them food and drink for all of the truth and all of the word that he was bringing to them? Do you see what was going on at this time? They were questioning, first of all, this apostle, but they were also questioning because I don't think a lot of these people, were in harmony with God in that they needed to support the ministry. These men were out here, and these women as well, too, were giving out the word of God. They had traveled far. And yet there were some thinking, I'm sure this is why this was coming. Why are we giving them food and drink? What are they doing? Are they working at all? I don't think I saw them go to work. I don't think I saw them do these things. How and why are we allowing them to have food and drink with us? But Brother Paul says in the fifth verse, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife? And if you look at that in your little footnote, it's a wife who is a sister in the Lord, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord in Cephas. It was very common that these ministers would bring their families, that they would be traveling with their wives, that they would have other apostles with them or other brothers in Christ, that they would be bringing these ones with them into these towns to give forth the word of God. And again, he's going on and saying, not only is it right for you to be giving me food, or these ones that are giving you the word of God, you need to be giving and assisting their wife. They're making a sacrifice. Could you imagine that? My grandpa had preached for about 70 years. I could see the sacrifice. I knew what, in a sense, about that sacrifice. But I didn't know really anything about it until the Lord called me into the ministry. It's the truth. There's a reward, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, don't feel sorry for me. And I hope you don't. I'll feel sorry enough for myself. But no, I'm just kidding. But God is a rewarder. And if we'll take that place where He has appointed us to go and the abilities that He's given us, it's an amazing, amazing thing. But we have to understand and appreciate the ones that God has given that ministry to. And these brothers and sisters were having a hard time with it. They were having a hard time even tithing. They were having a hard time even giving food and drink. If you can imagine this, to brothers and sisters that were bringing forth the word of God. These people were trying to cause contention among this meeting. He goes on to say, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? This is a real sarcastic statement here. What he's saying here is, do we not have a right maybe to stop working? That meant after they got through preaching? Do we actually have to work two jobs? We're going to read here and understand through the Word of God that Brother Paul was a tent maker. Brother Paul not only was a minister, he worked every day. And he worked, and we're going to read he worked because he didn't want anything to take away from the glory of the gospel that he was going to give these folks. He didn't want them to have any excuse to be contentious about what he was led to give them in the Word of God. And not only did he support his own ministry by the grace of God, he ministered and worked and supported other ministers as well too. Isn't that something? This is Paul again. What an example of the love of God working in a life. Now in the seventh verse he goes on to say, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? What this is meaning here is soldiers don't go to war in the daytime and then go work at night. They're soldiers all the way through the day. They don't have really two jobs. They're just supposed to fight. He goes on to say, who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? So farmers and shepherds, they don't work for free. They get to eat and they get to feed and drink off of the produce that they're bringing forth. So why should it not be also for the ministers, is what he's saying here. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? The Word of God tells us this. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? See, the oxen were allowed to go out there, and as they were doing their work, they were allowed to eat the corn as it was falling around them. They were out there working, but they were also feeding of the work that they were doing. And again, as I read this, I think just as God cares for the sparrow, just as God takes care of the ox, God also takes care of us, and He takes care of His ministers. And what a blessing it is when we can be used for that purpose. When we can be used of the Lord, in a sense, to fulfill the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? When we can give to things like that. I think it's so wonderful, like when, again, like whether it's Brother Hawkins or Brother Hines or Brother Smith, when they come through and they give us the Word of God. And they print out that material that is so wonderfully received by so many people throughout the world. And by the grace of God, we're able to assist and to give to those faithful ministers for the furtherance of the gospel. We need to be cheerful givers. We really do. God will take care of you. I'm not telling you that you're going to give and God's going to give you 10 times that amount in greenbacks. I will tell you, if you give cheerfully, though, as under the hand of the Lord, He'll give you... I wouldn't even want to compare it with the money that's going to be gone someday. He'll give you eternal reward that you can never, ever imagine, that you can never, ever match. Because you're, again, you're complying and you're surrendering to the will of God. And this is something, I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard for me to talk about with people because I don't want you to think that we're ever trying to get something out of you. Don't. That's not what this is about whatsoever. But I do want the Word of God to work in you richly. And this is something that the Word of God says needs to work in us richly, is to be givers and to support, again, His faithful ministry and ministers. Praise God. All right, going on. 10th verse. Or saith He it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So Paul here is speaking of a spiritual reward, but also at the same time he's speaking of a material reward. And I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And this is speaking of this double reward. He says here, let the elders that rule well... And again, that rule well. There is a threshold here that we're talking about. A faithful minister. It'll come up again in our text tonight. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor here. Especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, praise be to God. We're going to read that if we do this willingly, if we give this word out willingly, there's a reward, and it's a precious reward. But also, he's referring back to the muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. That there's a reward, even naturally speaking, that this minister should be rewarded. And I'm going to tell you, I remember Brother Hill many times telling us about the trouble that people had when they saw him that day driving that Mercedes-Benz. I'm going to tell you, I was so thankful, and I'm so thankful. Like when Brother Hawkins came and he's able to go and enjoy a wonderful weekend up in the mountains. Or when one of the brothers gets a new car. I hope that we rejoice. Shame on us if we don't. They're not living excess. They're not. And they need to be rewarded. They do. This is the Word of God. I was thinking about what we reward in this world. And I hope you understand, I'm not saying this for me. God has been so good to me. I'm so thankful for what God has done. But I'm talking again about ministers that have truly have given their lives for the Word of God. And then sometimes we as people think, well, if they're really going to be a minister of the Lord, they have to just give up everything. They can't have anything nice. They couldn't have a nice home. Maybe they should just live in a tent. How legal do you want to be with these folks? I want to be in accord with the Word of God. And the Word of God says they're going to be rewarded, obviously, if they do it willingly. They're going to be rewarded by, you know, and a lot of people just say, oh, well, they're going to be rewarded of God. Read what it says. Reward them. Isn't that wonderful? be happy, be thrilled when the Lord allows a brother or a sister to have some increase if it's under the hand of God. Again, as our wonderful pastor said so many times, God is not concerned with what you have. He's only concerned with what has you. And that's the truth. It is the truth. So I hope this is kind of sinking in here a little bit. All right. Verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So again here, listen to what he's saying. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, if we have been worthy, if we have been trustworthy ministers. I'm not talking about gainsayer ministers. You turn on your TV, you'll see a bunch of them. And it's the truth. We're building this, we're building that. You know, I remember one of the sisters told me, and as a matter of fact, is down, I think, in Texas. They locked the doors until they raised so much money. They did. My wife even was at a meeting one time, and this guy started talking about, well, you take out your checkbooks and you spell 1,000. Yeah. Okay. This is not what that's talking about. It's talking about the ones that have sown unto you spiritual things. Spiritual things is when we're not led to ask the people, we're led to ask the Lord. And I asked the Lord, and I asked it in accord with His Word, and He'll cause the people that are in tune with Him to do the things that need to be done. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. See, that's faith. That's faith in action, and that's the wonderful grace of God, the love in action in our life. So again, we see that Paul sowed spiritual things to these people. And again, the spiritual things are the test. It's the test or the proof of the worthy minister. And if there is a worthy minister, we should give happily, we should give cheerfully unto the Lord. And then he goes on to say, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Oh my. See, there was Philippi, Thessalonica, some of the others. You'll read that in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. You might mark that down, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. And you'll see that those brothers and sisters in those meetings, those people, they had sent Brother Paul monies to help his ministry throughout. Brother Paul made it a point, wherever he went and preached, he worked. He never took money from them then. It was after he left. After he left, if the Lord put it on their heart to give him monies to help with the ministry, then he would obviously receive that from them. But when he was there, he made it a point that he would not take that money or be a burden to them. He would actually go out and work and do that. All right, so let's go on to verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? So again, you support others. How much more do we deserve your support? Huh? When you get the full gospel, when you're getting stuff that is absolutely in sincerity, that it is the Word of God given in truth and love and purity. But he goes on to say, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but yet we suffer or we endure all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll give you another example of this. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 7 through 9. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them, to do you service. And you know, he didn't rob them by the grace of God. They gave him those tithes and things. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Now, obviously, by the grace of God, we're a meeting here and the Lord is having us preach this. How many ministers need to hear this as well too? Huh? Come on now. I'm telling you the truth. See, they're not reading the Word of God. They need to trust the Lord. and so many ministers over the years. And I'm telling you, I saw a few of them come in. I was paying attention a little bit. And I remember them coming in and being burdensome. I'm going to tell you the truth. It happens. God forbid. But see, the Lord allows us to see these things. You know why? Because His Word is true. His Word knows what it's talking about. It foresees. It foreknew. And by the grace of God, as ministers of the Word of God, and I don't know what the Lord might call us to, might call you to, I don't know. But even when you're giving out the Word of God, ministering the Word of God, don't be burdensome to somebody. Don't do it for your own gain. No, Word of God doesn't return void. I know that that cold cup of water is going to be so valuable to me. But at the same time, I'm doing it because of love. The whole motivation of giving out the Word of God, it better be love. It better be love. I love Jesus. That's why I'm here. You love Jesus. I believe that's why you're here. That's why we come together, because we love Him. We understand that there is a plan that God has put in His Son. And in knowing that plan and more about that plan, I get more abundant life all the time. I get more excited all the time. I see deeper into the things that God wants me to see, what He has for me. And as that comes upon us, it's just like those disciples. How could I keep quiet? How could I shut up? How could I not give out and tell of this wondrous love and power? Praise God. I saw people today getting excited about the Lord. And I don't mean this in any derogatory way. That I mean it as an encouraging way to them and to us in a lot of ways as well too. That didn't know probably a tenth of what maybe God has given to you all. But what they have, they're awfully excited about. And they can't keep quiet about it. And it was precious. And it spoke to me. We have such a great cloud of witness amongst us, don't we? Oh, we've been blessed. I don't want to pump anything up. But the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to suppress it. I want to be free. I want to be free to praise Him. Amen. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. I don't care what people think. If they call you a holy roller, say thank you. Best compliment I ever had. You're a nut for Jesus? You one of those Jesus freaks? Right on. Don't hide it. Oh, praise God, don't hide it. Who knows? Well, someday it'll be in, but but I did. I was so moved again. It's wonderful that people love the Lord. All right. So again in this, but it says there in the 12th verse, but He endured all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. That's how much He loved the Word of God. And we need to love the Word of God like that. We may be uncomfortable at times, brothers and sisters. We may want to say something because, you know, just something's disagreeable to me, it's hard or whatever. But I want to not hinder the gospel of Christ. This doesn't mean compromising. I hope you understand that. We're not compromising the truth here. But this is just really letting love take control. Love ruling the situation. Love ruling that. And I'm telling you, when we're directed in that love, then things will happen. Things can change. People can see. And again, I just to mention a little bit about today again is that it did kind of catch me by surprise. I didn't even get to tell my wife this. I was just sitting there about halfway through the service. The pastor that was speaking, he said, I hear the pastor from Living Waters is here. And I shot underneath the pew real quick. And I saw the little hand go up, you know, like that. But, you know, and it wasn't that bad. But the first reaction was to crawl underneath the pew. I want you to know it was. But as I saw my dear sisters and brother and again there for their mother, God encouraged me and encouraged me just to let them know my love and appreciation for them. Because, again, that was the place their mama went to church. And it was a stand that they had to take. Their mom was very involved in that church. And a sweet place, don't get me wrong, very sweet people, Love. Love was very rampant there. Absolutely. But you know what? Love ruled that day. Love ruled that time for me. And I got up there. And all I could do was compliment him to say, I'm so thankful that the love of God is in this place. That's all I could really say. So precious that you know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Isn't that wonderful to know? And they knew that. And they were rejoicing in it. And again, however Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. So you see, and God willing, if we get down to some of the other scripture tonight, you'll kind of see how the Lord was actually fulfilling His scripture even in my life today. It's precious. It was really sweet how God took control of that situation. Because I would have disappeared. All right. But it says, so he didn't hinder the gospel of Christ. And in Acts 18:3, you'll see that he was a tent maker. In Acts 20:34, you'll see that he supported others in the ministry at the same time he was ministering and at the same time he was building tents. That was Brother Paul. He didn't think too highly of himself. There was no job too small for Brother Paul. Isn't that wonderful? Don't despise the day of small things. Oh my. I'm thankful of the parents I have. There was no job beneath me. And they taught me that. And I had to believe it. And it's the truth. Don't think you're too good for something. The last is going to be first. The first is going to be last. Yeah. Yep. Condescend to men of low estate. All of those different things. Praise God. All right. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? This happened even back in, at the very beginning there with Abraham and Melchizedek in Genesis 14, 18 through 20. He gave all the spoils of that victory to Melchizedek, the priest. In Numbers 18, chapter 18, 8 through 24, you'll read the same thing. That those that kept the temple, meaning again, the ministers of Christ, they lived of those things. Those people brought in those tithes and different things, and it supported those lives. The Lord's spending a lot of time on this, isn't He? As we're reading through here. People don't get it. See, the enemy wants to get people thinking, well, you know, that brother so-and-so, you know, he has a lot. He must not be really living godly because, you know, if he's driving that kind of car, you know, he could sell that car and he could buy 10 cars for 10 other people. I've heard that. I know no one else in this church has ever thought that. That's the truth. I'm telling you, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean it. You know that that's just the enemy talking there. Look, if I believe it's a problem, take it there. Okay? And the problem's going to be here first. Really, it is. Lord, just fix me. Fix my heart. Be any wicked way, search it. Get it out of there. And then I bring it before you, Lord. And I have faith that you've given me that if it needs to change, it will change. And only God's going to change that anyways. Okay? So, just some things there to think about. Praise God. All right. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So again, that they should get their living from the gospel. The preachers. That it is their, basically their work, their job. I was thinking of Brother Hill, though, for many years. My mom used to tell me how hard he worked. And how he worked two jobs sometimes, and even three, I believe, it's at times as well, too. Because the meeting here was so small. They didn't have that much. And then when he had a car, one of the brothers, I don't know if it was the one that went down into Argentina or not, to be honest with you. But Brother Hill had a car. And the Lord encouraged him, it wasn't of Brother Hill, to sell that car, to walk and take the bus, and give that money to that missionary to go down there to minister. Okay? See, we can dote on our brothers and sisters once they went to be with the Lord a little bit. But, you know, a lot of people can get critical real fast. I'm not trying to defend anybody. And you know what? I don't need to. God does it. You know, God does it. And He's the only judge there is anyways. And I just want to have the faith and the love that those that have walked that wonderful path before me, I want to mark them and say, you know what? Lord, I want a lot more of that. And I'd like a lot more of that. And I'd like a lot more of that in my life. Huh? Praise God. Let's get in the loving way. All right. 15. But I have used none of these things, Brother Paul says. So again, I am rightful to have food, drink, housing, rewarded double, all of these different things. But I'm going to wrap it up for you real quick here. Paul says, but I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Now, there's a life for the things of God. He did not want to be a burden. He was not after their filthy lucre. He was a Christ-like minister. And that's what we want to be. We want to be Christ-like ministers. Amen. In the same image. We want to serve others at our own expense. And the reward is with the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 8 through 10. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. That's how much he stood and protected the word of God. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. And Lord willing, we'll get to the place where he says, follow me as I follow Christ. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Had to talk to a brother about that the other day. Work is good. It is. It's a good thing. If you're able to work, work. It's a good thing. But Brother Paul, he was such a testimony of that, that even though, and I will tell you, the ministry makes you tired. And Paul was known as Paul the Aged. And I've always been so thankful of the energy that I have. And God has increased it at certain times. But I am telling you, I have never been so tired as I've been in the last couple of years. And I'm only 42 now, almost. But you know what? I've learned not to rely on that. Or my workouts or all those different things. I do believe that bodily exercise profits a little. I believe that God tells us all things in moderation to take care of your bodies. You need to. It's good for you. And it does make you feel better in a sense. But I learned to trust Him. That He's the one that gives me strength. That He's the one that is going to... And the sweet thing is, I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, is I really have never been tired. Never been a person to ever be tired. But you know what? I'm learning to be thankful in all things. And to be content in all things, in all places. That when He has me tired, I can say, you know, Lord, I guess I really wouldn't want to be tired, but I'm thankful I'm tired because this is what You want me to be. How's that? Praise God. So I know that He's dealing with me in a lot of different things. All right. 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Oh, I love that. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. See, his boasting was in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, we saw that he said that he gloried in the Lord. He gloried in the Lord. He was not disobedient to the vision that he was given. And he was given that vision in Acts 26:19. You've heard me say it many times. We have been given something so precious. You do. You have. You see it by the grace of God. He has taken that veil up and he's letting you come into a place by the grace of God and into a message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I have been around that for about 40 years. Maybe cognizant, 30, 35, somewhere in there. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord's shown me. Your life is never going to set right until you yield to it. You're marked. You're done. It's over. And I love that when people kind of look at you like this. What do you mean? No, it's a wonderful thing. And you know what I'm talking about. And it's true. Until you submit to it. See, there's no accidents with God. He's giving you this. This is important. He doesn't just cast His pearl among swine. And I'm talking about that on any level. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. There's no accident. And just like Brother Paul, I believe he's saying the same thing right now. He's saying, necessity is laid upon me to do this. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He couldn't even imagine what his life would be if he didn't follow the Lord in the fullness of what he'd been given. He was a chosen vessel. That same message has been given to you. You're a chosen vessel. Whether you know it or not. But there is a choice, and Paul still had a choice, even after he was chosen. He did. He wasn't forced. But it was a choice of yielding. It was a choice of embracing that message. It was a choice of embracing that, you know what? I can be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Isn't that precious? And I'm going to run well for it. Amen. For if I do this thing willingly, here in the 17th verse, I have a reward. Oh, praise God. And the reward, you'll read a little bit of it in Philippians 4:1. He says, you're my reward. You're my joy and crown of rejoicing. This testimony, this witnessing. You know, Paul was persecuted. He was thrown in a prison. A lot of different things were happening to that brother. But he wrote the joy book of the Bible there too as well. So wonderful. But if against my will, a dispensation, this means a stewardship or a responsibility, of the gospel is committed unto me. This, I think of 2 Timothy 4:7, where he said, I have finished my course. This was the course that Paul had. That was the course that was laid out. You've got a course that's been laid out before you. I don't want you running mine, and I don't want to run yours. But if you'll run it, and you'll run it well, and you'll run it patient, and you'll run it with joy, praise God, you'll finish. You will. Hallelujah. You will finish that course. And that course is going to have that reward at the end of that course. Praise His name. And this was committed unto Him. Again, being that chosen vessel. That's Acts 9:15. So He goes on in verse 18 and He says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, no expense. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. And I think of that power that he had in the gospel. I was thinking about Romans 2:16 there, where he says, and we'll read that together. I'm sure many of you know that verse as well, but I think it's a precious thing to really read and to think about that. In the day, and this is Brother Paul speaking here, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. My gospel. Paul was bringing in something real special. The Gentiles could be fellow heirs, joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. That's you and me. It was hidden from the sons of men. This is what he was bringing in to these people. This was the power, in a sense, that he's speaking of here. He didn't abuse that. Praise God. He came in and he knew nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He was a faithful minister. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 10, you will see the witnessing of that faithful ministry that he had. All right, going on to verse 19. We're going to read here in the next few verses about the four ways He served others in Christ. For though I be free from all men, And he was free. There was no debt, in a sense, to anybody. He'd done exactly and even more so than what he needed to do, obviously, in giving out the Word of God and being led of the Lord and being a tent maker, supporting the other ministers as well, too. Yet, he says, even though I'm free from all, have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more? See, here was a choice. He was unselfish. He had God's love working in him. He wanted to win souls. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew. I didn't become a Jew. I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. If you read in Romans 10:1, he prayed fervently that Israel would be saved. He loved his kinsmen. He loved those Jews. But when he was with them, he became as the Jews, that he might gain them. And this wasn't compromising the truth, but he would eat with them in the foods that they were eating. He would celebrate with them in their different days that they may have their feast days or the things that they were keeping. It brought back, I've mentioned to you, I have this dear Jewish family that I love so back in California. And at the very beginning of our relationship, they had had me out there for the Passover. And the Lord encouraged me, absolutely, son, go in there and eat with them. I wasn't even thinking about this until afterwards, but just how God moved me to do that. And it wasn't that I was compromising the truth in any way, shape, or form. I knew that to me and to the Lord, that was just a dinner. It was just a dinner. Now, it meant something very special to them. And I appreciated that they were so close. But it wasn't going to get it. But I knew in that love that I would show by the grace of God that that could win souls. What do you think of that? What do you think about today, maybe, when you're out there with people that the Word of God here as we get down here says, to the weak became I as weak. And what that word weak means is maybe the ones that are a little bit younger in Christ. The babes in Christ. Do you go at them and be condescending and say, oh my. Oh. When they're loving the Lord with what they have, at least they're rejoicing in the things that they have. I need to be in the frame of love of God that says, however Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. Showing that love. And I think by the grace of God, the ones that were there from our meeting really did speak the love of God. I really do believe that. I think God was working there. I know that they witnessed to me too with their love. See, that's what God does. Nobody's better than anybody. We're all the family of God. We're all part of a wonderful body. I just have a desire to grow up. Yeah. I was thinking today how one of the things that were said is that, you know, we're waiting for that perfection. And I understand in a sense what they're saying there. But you understand that in Colossians 4:12 it says that I can stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's not a fantasy. That's the truth. That's the Word of God, isn't it? I believe that. I believe that God can mature my life to be in that state with Him. In that kind of harmony. When the Word of God tells you something, seize it. Go after it. I appreciated one thing that was said today too. You may not even understand it. But He said it, believe it, go after it. And He'll bring it to you. Just have faith to believe God at His Word. All right. So He says that He became a Jew that He might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. In Acts 16:3, Paul had Timothy circumcised. Was that to make Timothy more spiritual? Absolutely not. Why was it? Because he was going to take him out among the Jews. Poor Timothy. He didn't realize what he was going to have to go through to preach the Word. All right. But you see what it meant to Paul. And if you were going to go out and witness with Paul, you were going to be the real deal. And if Paul was convicted for you, I guess you had to be convicted pretty quick. Or you were going to leave. I mean, think about what this. Well, I think it was pretty funny to you too. All right. So you had to be serious to be a missionary back then. You didn't get to stay in the Ritz-Carlton Inn at night, did you now? All right. To them that are without law, as without law. being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. And what is the law to Christ? It's the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? And again, the key is the love of Christ being our motivation, that I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, the babes in Christ. Paul, just think of what he knew. And yet they were even a question in him, are you even an apostle? Could you imagine at times you just think, oh, the lot of them, Lord, just get me to another city. I'm out of this one. Huh? But he loved them, didn't he? He loved them with Christ's love. And he said, Lord, I just love them. I was thinking about old Moses, how that would go back and forth as we were studying a couple weeks back, and how Moses had to deal with the Lord. And he said, oh, Lord, you don't want to destroy them. You don't want to do that. Stop. You know, and the Lord, it said, repented from his evil. See, the love of God can get a hold of us in a mighty way, even when a lot of silliness is going on, even wickedness. He said here, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I just think that's so precious. There was no compromise of the gospel. But what happened is, he, as we read in the 8th chapter last week, is that he allowed the Lord in love to restrict his liberty at times. When he had to have his liberty restricted to be a testimony, he allowed the Lord to do that. And how many times do we go in there and say, well, if they're not as spiritual as I am, I'm not going to be like that. I'm free to do this. I'm not going to be legal. Yeah. See, let the love of God work. Amen. You know, and then you never know what might be won there. True. So, praise His name. And He goes on to say, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So sweet here. Brother Paul's life was the gospel. He was one in Christ. He knew this family. He knew the unity that was there. He knew the unity of the blessing that God would give him as well too. It's wonderful to watch people grow in the Lord. And you just don't know. Like I say, the Lord just said, go out there and as I give you that ability, plant. Plant it. I'll give the increase. I'm starting to learn to not, in a sense, wonder. Speculate. Not doing that. I just trust God. Now, I don't know when it might happen, but you know one other thing? I don't give up hope either. It's never hopeless with the Lord. It just isn't. He's the God of all hope. He's the God of all comfort. I'm seeing some marvelous things that the Lord has put on my heart many years ago and even over the last couple years. And I didn't know why I even put it there. And showing me things come to pass. To say, son, just take it to me, leave it there, and trust me for it. And it's an amazing thing what God can do. Amazing thing what God can do. But see, He's got a time and it's a perfect time. I just need to believe that it's already been answered. How's that? And it has been. He's answered it. He's making note of all my petitions. He's my advocate before the Father. He said that He wouldn't withhold anything good from me. He said that He's promising that He's going to perfect that which concerns me. As I yield my life to Him and I get into the very will of God, I know that all things work together for good to them, for good to me, because I love God. What a precious promise. And this is where we can put it. And this is the kind of ministry each one of us can have. Not looking to gain for ourselves, but truly because we love one another. Because we have the love of God. That's the motivation. And that's going to be the increase, and that's going to be our reward. So praise God. I think we're going to stop there. And Lord willing, if He tarry, such wonderful verses coming up, the 24th through the 27th. And this truly is the Philadelphia love of preferring others, which is the key to winning the prize. And that's all this that Paul's been talking about here in this 9th chapter is the Philadelphia love. Those are the ones that are going to be kept from the tribulation. Those are the ones that are going to be made the very pillar. They're not tossed to and fro. They're not up and down in a sense with feeling and emotion and all of this type of thing, getting caught up into what my eyes are seeing. They're the ones that are caught up in faith. They're the ones that are caught up in truth and love. And they're the ones that will truly have a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Praise God. Let's stand.